This little series that I've been doing is called Transformed, or The Transforming Power of the Word. And what I want to kind of talk about this morning is something that's been on my heart for a while through a friend of mine who has struggled with some things and has been able to share with me just some things that God has revealed to him. And it's been just really, helpful to me. I have this rule of thumb that I kind of was challenged with a couple years ago, even I would say a year ago, is status quo is not okay. Staying the way you are, doing the same things over and over, is not okay. That we have to be changing and growing, and it's not just circumstantial. It's something we actually have to pursue in order. You know, just think of these projects. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning. That siding project did not side itself. We had to plan and say, okay, we got these materials we need to do. We need to set aside this time to come down and do it. But it's been so cool to see the result of that, to see that planning, that time. As we pursue our walk with the Lord, we have to pursue those changes. One of the things that as we talk about this morning, I want to talk about being transformed by the Word that brings healing to our spirits. As you think about humankind, what makes humankind different from every other creature in God's creation? Different from a cat, different from, I don't know, a buffalo, different from an ant, you know, different from your dog. You know, obviously you look different. Most of you do anyways, look different. But I think about those things that they're probably two major ways, distinctions, that we're different from other creatures. The first distinction is how we're built. How we're built. And I see this from Genesis 1:26. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. We're built different in how we reflect God's image. And there's kind of like three different areas that we kind of categorize of how we're made in God's image. The first one is we reflect God's image mentally. Human beings are built with a faculty, with the power to reason through stuff, ability to think through variables and process and say, okay, this looks like it's the best way to do things, or this didn't work, so we're going to do it this way. Ability to calculate things, ability to plan, ability to have a willful choice to say, even though this doesn't look like the best way, or it doesn't look like the fun way, I'm going to choose to go this way because it's going to accomplish the most. We see a reflection of God's image mentally as played out as when people paint. I'm going to say people paint because I am not a good painter. Well, I can paint buildings. I can't paint artwork. My entrance into the art world is to put curly hair on my stick figure, okay? So when I say paint, I see variables, but we see the beauty of that. We see it in people when they do architectural design, when we see people write books, when we see music that's played, when music is composed. We see it in processing things and making conclusions, reflecting God image mentally. We think all those ways that's different than other creatures. When God made us, he made us also to reflect his image morally. Humanity was created in righteousness without sin, perfectly innocent. I don't know about you, I cannot remember when I've been perfectly innocent. Even as a child, before I can remember, I was not an innocent kid. I would get into trouble and my mom would have to scoot after me to straighten me and direct me the right way. It looks cute when you're a kid, but it's not so good cute as you get older. Perfectly innocent. After each day, God declared that what he made was good. When God made humanity, he declared that it was very good. The pinnacle of his creation. We see God's image being played out in humanity today when we punish evil, right? We have a prison system that's way too full. We have a system of laws to try to keep people going in the right direction for the benefit of society. We see when we praise our kids, when they come and help and say, Johnny, I'm so glad you came in and help do the dishes. You know, Susie, I'm so glad you came and helped me pull weeds out of the yard. You helped do the garden. We praise good behavior. We're made in God's image to recognize good behavior and to stray away from evilness. The third aspect of how we're built is reflected in God's image socially. Humanity, you and me, we're created to be in fellowship with each other. I think it's so fascinating is when God says what? Let us make man in what? Our image. It's like, you know, what, you got a mouse in your pocket? Well, no, we see an indication of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working in tandem, working in Trinity, right? That's a word that we came up with, the aspect of God in his three persons and three facets of who he is. That he wanted us, man, to experience that kind of fellowship, that kind of enjoyment, perfect in unity, and they honor and love each other. I've been married for 35 years, and I don't have that kind of unity with my wife. I mean, we have moments. We're like, man, can we just hang on to this moment? This is amazing. This is really fun. But it's a challenge. God made us for fellowship. Why is it so hard? He made us for intimacy. He made us for a relationship. It's interesting as we think about relationship, God's primary reason for making human beings was relationship with himself. He wanted us to enjoy him, enjoy his company, enjoy what he created us to walk in. We see God's image being played out when somebody marries, right? Who wants to spend their life alone? Nobody does. We see that step into marriage and say, you know what? I want to be with you. I want to partner with you. I want to enjoy intimacy with you. I want to plan with you. I want to have children with you. We see it when we have friends over for dinner. We see it when we pursue new friendships. We come to a new situation and we make new friends, whether we go to school or work, or even in a new neighborhood. We see it when we hug a child. We see that relationship, that there's nothing more endearing than to have a kid come up and hug you, right? Or to be able to give a hug to a son or daughter or grandchild. And we see in relationship, we're created in God's image for fellowship by just being here today. As we come and enjoy it, I know you're not just here to sit in the sun. You're here to be in fellowship. There's people you know here. There's people, maybe new friends, that you are meeting here today. The second distinction of how we are built is God gave man a spirit and a soul. In Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. God breathed into man the breath of life. He could have just been a human doing, but instead he's a human being. He breathed in the breath of light, and then that moment he became an eternal soul, a forever being that God made him to be. God gave man his own personal spirit that he gets to experience life's events with. As you and I react to those life's events with our spirit, our soul's character is formed. How you and I respond with our spirit. And I know this is going to seem really psychological mumbo jumbo to some of us, but I'm telling you, this is the depth of who God created us to be. And my challenge and encouragement for you this morning is to be aware that God has created you with a personal spirit made in his image, planted in your heart to experience life, to enjoy life, to enjoy him with, to enjoy each other with. When you and I react to life situations, there's like a structure and a grid that's established. It's a structure that's established in our heart, and our mind and in our temperament and our personality. I can remember I worked for a very driven company, and my spirit was being damaged in that place so much that my personality began to change. I became to get very, became harsh. I became to be insensitive to my wife, to the Lord. I was impacted by that environment. Maybe somebody can relate to hard places that you work or hard situations that you're in. It impacts your spirit. It impacts who you are. It is through this grid and filter that our spirit interprets and responds to life. It's fascinating as we, man, and there's lots of theology about what the spirit and the soul is. But the spirit and the soul are inseparable. They're inseparable. You can't pull one apart without from the other. They're intertwined, but they have very different functions and roles. When Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. There's things that we can choose to do that we hang on to that will impact our soul. Remember how our spirit responds to thing creates the character of our soul. How you and I, just even talk about character, kindness. How is somebody naturally kind or helpful? How does that happen? Well, it happens every time you choose to be kind and helpful. It changes your character. You know, even though inside you may thinking, this is hard work, I don't want to do this. But as you do that, it changes your character. Same thing as our spirit and our soul. As we react in ways with our spirit, it impacts and directs our soul. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now you must also rid yourself of all such of these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Those things we talk about, it's our soul is being impacted. Even though we may still feel angry, we get to put that off. When we feel selfish, we get to put that off and put on kindness. And as we do that, it changes our character. It changes who we are and the soul for eternity. To me, it's kind of challenging. It's like, man, who do I want to be for eternity? I need to do some, involve myself and pursue some things now, because as I do, it changes who I am becoming. It's not just damaging to our own soul, but it's damaging to others who are around us. Have you ever been around somebody who's just angry, you know, or nervous? I find myself getting angry or nervous just being around them. And I haven't even, you know, it's because their spirit is talking to my spirit. They don't even have to say anything. If you've ever walked into a room, sometimes we talk about you could cut the tension with a knife. Because there is a spiritual presence of people involved. The spirit that God created in it, it's ones that we can make obedient and follow after the Lord or not. We truly are fearfully and wonderfully made, not just physically, but spiritually. It is, to me, it is amazing to think that we are all spirit beings. You know, I think we go through life thinking that it's just physical. I need to get a good job. I need to make money. I need to buy a house. I need to have my business go well. I need to find a good person to marry. I need to make sure my kids obey me. That is very surfacey for how God made us to be. We are spiritual beings that get to enjoy each other. And as we do that, a healthy spirit leads to a healthy life. It doesn't mean things are easy. It means that you can have a healthy spirit in very difficult circumstances because you are in tune, that you're aware of what God's doing. And John and Paula Sanford, in their book, God's Power to Change, describe three functions and needs of our God-given spirits. You know, to me, it's kind of interesting that God is not one-dimensional. He makes things to function a certain way, but we not only, it's the purpose of that function, but it's also our need to function. I mean, food's one of them, right? The function of food is to nourish us, but God created us what? We got hunger. Hunger that complements says, man, I need to eat, you know, and some of us get grumpy. And I never tell my wife anymore, you need to eat because you're getting grumpy. That's a never, just note to you young guys who don't know that yet. You just give them something to eat and then they'll tell you later, wow, I must have needed to eat. And you just keep your mouth shut, you just smile and you give them a hug. But it's those things that what God created are both functions and needs. The first one, our spirit is designed to worship God. Our spirit is what enables us to worship. What is the Lord says? He seeks to looking for people to worship in what? In spirit and in truth. Yet a time of coming, verse 23, of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit, he created us in his image with a personal spirit that we get to worship him with. It says, without faith, right? Faith is invisible, non-physical. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because God is spirit. We worship God. Our spirit functions to worship God, and it needs to worship God to be healthy. Our spirit is what directs us what to do, what our bodies, you know, as my spirit worships God, my hands go up. I was not always a hand raiser. And some of you have heard me tell this story before. Early on, Jackie and I used to go to Charismatic Pentecostal Church. In fact, it was our first Foursquare church we went to years ago in Olympia, Washington. Living Water Foursquare. Jackie and I held hands we loved what was going on, but I don't know, maybe we were kind of afraid that our hands would all of a sudden fly up in the air, you know? And so we held each other's hands. Seriously, for the first year, we held each other's hand. But inside, our spirits were singing. We were experiencing God's spirit there. We were experiencing that fellowship there. And as time went on, you know, it was not until several years later as we moved and went to another church, I did like the whoa worship. Whoa. Where you put your hands just like a whoa. And you look around to see if, you know, if anybody else is getting carried away like you. And it was for years, literally several years, I did the whoa worship. And then I remember the Sunday when I was just filled, and I was filled with worship, and I stopped thinking of what other people were thinking. And I said, God, I worship you. Little did I know, I had a very good friend there. He came up to me after church and said, Scott, my wife and I looked over and saw something amazing. You lifted your hands all the way up. And I was like, yeah, I guess I did. You know, it was just opening up. That was a process of God opening my personal spirit to his. I love that. It's a process. It is. And I'm not saying that if you're people who don't lift their hands aren't obedient to God's spirit, but I'm just saying that's my experience. You know what it is that opens your spirit up and what you need to walk in as you worship. How the body functions, is designed to worship God. We'll worship God forever housed in bodies. Isn't that interesting? These bodies will decay, but we'll be given new bodies. And guess what we'll be doing in heaven? Our spirit housed in new bodies, everlasting bodies, forever kind of bodies, will still be worshiping God. Our spirit, what we worship God, will continue to be what we get to do in new decay-proof bodies. How we live is full of our expression of our relationship with God. Our second function and need that God designed for our God-given spirit after worshiping God, our second is God gave us a spirit to keep our bodies alive and functioning. As soon as the spirit leaves the body, it begins to die. In the moment it begins to die. If you've ever seen somebody lose life go out of them, it's just obvious. They're dead. You know, it's kind of crazy. Some of us, I know for me personally, I always struggle this, but there's enough stories, and as you put it with the words, you hear people having seen their body on the table with the EMTs trying to get them back alive. And they're like in the third person watching from up above what's going on. And their bodies come back to life as their spirit enters in. All of a sudden, they're aware of what's going on. There's enough stories out there that there's an indication that we see confirmation of God's word that without the spirit, we are dead. As soon as the spirit leaves the body, we die, we decay. How the body houses the spirit and how the spirit energizes the body to live, you know, is a mystery for sure, but there's a connection. I think of Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit drives up the bone. We talk about prayer, you know, God answers prayer as people come and pray for somebody, gives them hope. It encourages their spirit and their health begins to get better. Their recovery is quicker. Proverbs 18:14, the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? You know, there's difficulties, again, that we can talk about, that people face, but if their spirit is healthy, they navigate difficult situation with hope and direction, and their body doesn't decay. A healthy spirit impacts the health of the body. The third function and need that God designed for our His God-given spirit in us is to interrelate and interact with others. When we interact with others, it goes beyond our five senses. It's one of those things that it's spiritually discerned. God made a spirit that interacting, if you just go to some place and you don't have any relationship with somebody, you go to a party or a work function and you don't like the people that you're hanging with, you can feel it in your spirit. You feel the heaviness. They may have had amazing food. They may have had great entertainment. They may have had a beautiful place that you went to. You may have even got dressed up. But if you're not interrelating and interacting with each other, your spirit does not enjoy that time. It goes beyond those five senses. There is a flow of spirits from one person to the next. As you come, have you ever met somebody new that you feel like, wow, I've known this person all my life? Why? Because your spirits have connected. You hear what they're compassionate about. You hear what they're passionate about. You hear their story. You hear their priorities. You hear what's important to them. You say, oh my goodness, I feel like I've known you forever. I want to get together with you again. Why? Because your spirits are connecting beyond the function, the physical things that you're doing together. And we see that in critical studies of how important touch is to infants and to children. Infants without physical touch, that connection of spirit between even a baby and a mom, a baby and somebody who cares for them, a child, it's so critical. There are studies that show just the ability, people's resilience in handling difficult situation is so important. Exact situation, one home is filled with love and the other one isn't. It's very different results. It results in going toward crime activity, doing well in school, adjustments with other people, education, job stability. All those things impact depending on what kind of person, what kind of home that person grew up in. Love and physical touch is a practical interchange of spiritual energy. I love to hug my wife. I love to hug my wife. We have a habit, and I try not to do habits that aren't meaningful. But one of the habits is we hug every morning. I'll just say, my wife, as we get dressed, I hug my wife every morning. We'll leave it at that. Every night, every day when I leave for work, I hug my wife. When I come home from work, the very first thing I do is I go find her and I hug her and kiss her. Why do I do that? I do that because I want a great marriage. I do that because I love her, but something more significant is happening in that. There is a spiritual energy that is being exchanged. There is a health that we get to give each other. I didn't know about this, but I didn't find out about this and then start doing it. I started doing it, and then I found out about this. And I remember thinking, that's what's going on. It has changed the intimacy of our relationship. As we've acknowledged, and again, I try to say, I have to choose to do it, because sometimes, like you, when I come home, I got something on my mind. I want to go get this done or that done, or the mail came in. I was like, oh, I got to pay this bill. I will put it down, go find her, and be purposeful about that. And I'm even more convinced now as I recognize there is a spiritual energy that God designed us for us to join together, to interrelate and interact with each other. We can sense those invisible ways of heaviness. I can think about people that are really good at playing nice, playing pleasant. They will come in, they have a smile on their face, their voice is joyful, but you sense something's not right. You're like, I'm sensing something sad and heavy, but your face and your what I'm seeing physically isn't lining up. And then as you get to know them, you find out that they struggle with depression. And they're really good at putting on an outside look and feel and faking everybody out. But that's not their spirit. To be that sensitive, to not be thrown off by somebody who is putting on an outside facade, to be so sensitive to their spirit that you can know what's going on with their spirit. How cool would that be? To be able to spend time with somebody who seems like they're okay and to say, hey, what's going on? Oh, everything's great. No, I just, tell me how your week went. Well, I just lost my job. Or my parent just died. Or my husband and I are getting along terribly. And you would never know that by their demeanor. You would only know that because you sense there's something going on. And with your kids and with your family and with friends, to be tuned in to their spirit that God gave us. The third aspect, but we think about those purposes of our God-given spirit. I think about all the different circumstances that happen, and I don't want you to think that just because you grew up in a lousy environment, there's not hope for you. There is hope for you. Because God created us to be nurtured by His Spirit. He wants us to be, not to function and to have those needs met. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be nurtured by His Spirit. And as we're nurtured by His Spirit, there's healing for us. That's why I talk about that transforming power of God's Word. That's where we get to hear who God is. His faithfulness, His love, His patience, His future creating, that we get to enjoy His Spirit and be affirmed by that, be encouraged by that, be cleaned by that. We allow God's Spirit to nurture us through prayer, through that time, those conversations with God, listening to God speak to our spirit. I have discovered that there's things that upset me and I don't know why. Other than the other person, right? If you didn't do that, I wouldn't be upset. Well, the reality is you got to live by yourself in order for other people never to bother you. And so I'm thinking, I don't want this to be so upsetting to me. God, would you help me discover What's hurting in my spirit that this bothers me so much? And as I've done that, that God nurtures my spirit, and God asks me questions. And I talk about audible questions, but questions in my spirit to say, hey, have you ever thought about this? Or why do you think, Scott, this is so upsetting? And I, in that conversation, God is nurturing my spirit. He's acknowledging that what you're feeling inside, Scott, is my spirit that I put in you. Don't ignore that. And as I have done that, God has brought health and healing to my spirit. And because of that, I can then love people openly and fruitfully, because I'm not so inward focused on my discomfort and sickness. We allow God's Spirit to nurture us through His Word. When we read His Word, we learn about His heart and His purposes and His love for us. Through His Word, He feeds us what our spirit needs: affirmation, correction, strength, confidence, direction, and forgiveness. Not only did God design us to be nurtured by His Spirit, but He designed us to be nurtured by our families. We spend more time with our family than any place else. And parents are the most influential in that process of nurturing our spirit. A parent can do an amazing job at feeding a kid, of clothing a kid, of making sure that kid's in school, making sure they're doing their homework. They can do a great job at making sure that they learn how to play an instrument, or they play sports, or they excel at some activity. But without affection, without love, right, it's nothing. You can have all the components. That's why the world is so, it's like, what, are you kidding me? This person has everything that I want. Well, what they don't have is affection, is unfailing love. If a child doesn't receive affection, their spirit will starve. And we can just expand that a little bit, right? If you and I, if adults, don't receive affection, we will starve. Affection is so important, because as a spirit touches spirit, as a child is hugged, we're giving affection. We're giving affection. You know, and I laugh about my, I have one, you know, as you know, kids or grandkids, some people like to be touched and some people don't. Okay? Whatever reason that is. But I tell you, I've got a granddaughter who, she's like a cat in a way. If she, like cats, what I mean by that is, cats will let you pet them when they come your way. And God forbid that you want to pet them too much, because then they leave. They will wrap and walk around your legs over and over and over again. Say, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. Then you pay attention to them, and what happens? They leave. It's like, what was that about? But it feels so good when even our little granddaughter comes and gives me a hug. She is feeding my spirit. She is communicating affection. I can breathe deep and say, oh my goodness. And some of you have neighbors. I love when our neighbor girls come up and talk to us and want to tell us the greatest, the latest adventure that's going on. It feeds my heart. Why? Because there's affection being interchanged. There's spirit being interchanged. Spirit touches spirit. Matthew 25. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. That's Jesus talking about the things that we do and how we relate to people. As we love people, as we hug people, which, by the way, is really difficult for me in this pandemic. I have admittedly broken the rule a few times. Granted, it's not the full-on body hug, but I've done just the quick shoulder touch and arm around, or just touching. God created us to be physical beings, spirit touching spirit, and trying to be, say, God, would you cover, help me to be healthy, help me to be wise, protect us. But God created us for touch. It's really important, and that's why I hug Jackie too much. She's like, okay, Scott, enough, you know, enough. Because I need to be have my spirit growing. Some you may be saying, that explains why my spirit is starving. That explains why I feel like I can't hear God. That explains why I feel empty. My encouragement is that Jesus is our healer. Foursquare Gospel, Jesus, Savior, healer, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and coming King. Jesus is our healer. Is God came to heal our spirits so that we could be engaged with each other, so that we can be engaged with Him, so that we can hear His voice when we read His word, so that it speaks to our heart, so that we are changed by that, so that we're touched by that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a process of becoming clean and whole in our spirit. It's a process of having our hearts and our spirits healed. It's not a one and done. It's a process of being healed so that my spirit tomorrow is healthier than my spirit is today. And what my spirit is today is healthier than it was a year ago. Have you ever had stained clothing that you've had to send through the wash? I crack up. I like get a new shirt and I'll eat something and I will look down and there will be a grease stain on my shirt. I'm like, how can that be? You know, why didn't I put on the old shirt before I ate this food? And well, Scott, why didn't you just not eat like such a pig, you know? It's just like, take your time. But I will go upstairs and I say, Jackie, you know, is that stained stuff in the cupboard there? Yeah. You know, put it on, let it set, soak, start the wash, wash it, comes out, and the stain is still there. It's not as bright, but it's still there. Put some more on, send it through the wash. I think sanctification is that same kind of way. It's going to take repeated washings until that stain is gone. And then maybe there will always be a slight stain or discoloration if the light hits it right. But it's a process of sanctification that we can be sure that God is about status quo is not okay. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Sanctification is a lifetime of being engaged with God's Spirit and saying, Lord, would you heal me? Would you touch me? Would you make my heart soft towards things? Would you open my mind to see and feel things that I haven't before? God designed us to be nurtured by His Spirit and by each other. I want our church body, this place that we call Lebanon Foursquare Church, the church on the corner of 5th and C in Lebanon, Oregon, to be people that are pursuing alive spirits, the people that are sensitive to what God is saying, sensitive to how God is healing our own heart. To say, and it's not a measure of, you know, are you damaged, but in what way are you damaged? It's like, here is how God is healing me. I grew up in, like some of you, my dad was not an affectionate man. I think I tell you the story about when God began to touch my spirit and I realized how much I craved physical touch. And so I went home, and with this new baptism of the Holy Spirit, I went home and said, Dad, I love you. I love you. Dad goes, well, I love you too. You know, it's like, back off, you know, in my space. And I just went up, man, I just gave him a big old bear hug. And my dad, he really got into it. His arms were straight down and he just stood there. And I just hugged him and held him until he got uncomfortable. And I said, I love you, Dad. I went away and we lived out of town, so we didn't get to visit, but maybe a couple times a year. But I remember as time went on, my dad's thinking this phase is not going away. And I think that honestly, that God was also growing his spirit. As I went home and I continued, Dad, I love you. And I'd give him the biggest bear hug and squeeze him and hold him. Dad, I love you. I love you, because I knew that his spirit had been damaged. I knew he grew up in a home that was, a dad was not present. And when he was present, he only gave physical gifts. My dad told me the story. He'd got a wagon for his birthday, and he turned it upside down on the sidewalk, and he took every single nut and bolt apart on that thing, because he didn't want that thing. He couldn't articulate it. He just said he did that. But as you look back on it, going, I know why. He wanted his daddy's love. He didn't want his daddy's gifts. And so I know that as I hug my dad, he didn't get that. He didn't get that. And I knew God wanted to give. The Holy Spirit was talking to me and said, you just keep doing that. And I hugged him. And I remember the time when he began to know what was coming, and he would lean in now. The arms are still down, but he would lean into the hug, because here it comes. And maybe if I lean into it, it'll quit. Scott will quit sooner than he does. And then the time went on where Dad actually reached up, took one of his arms, and gave me a couple of pats on the back. I love you too, son. I love you too. And honestly, it was just a process of saying, persistent. Isn't that the way God loves us? God loves us, and we hold our hands down. In fact, some of us, I call it being prickly, right? Where we will push people away. We'll be angry. People who want to be kind to us. People who want to be loving to us. And we're like, ugh, get away from me. At the same time, you know, it's kind of like, what is it, this thing they say, no, don't do that. That mixed message. You're saying yes, but you're saying no. It's like that spirit needs to be touched by God, that we get to enjoy, that we get to be as we listen to God's spirit. I want this church to be a place that we are being healed. Our personal spirits are being healed, and that we are a healing church. And the only way you and I can be a healing church is as we walk out our own brokenness. We walk out our own awareness of things that needs that God designed us to have were not met. And that's the only way that we can be. And so that when we see people acting out, we don't interpret them as bad behavior, or they need a spanking, or they need to go to jail. We will interpret and say, wow, their spirit is damaged. They don't know how much God loves them. God, would you show me where I get to walk out your spirit of love to them and give them what they need, right? Function, how God designed us, and need. As we walk out the church, God designed us to help fill that need. As we have God's spirit in us as believers, as followers of Christ, we get to walk out that kingdom. Jesus came so that we would have life abundantly, abundantly, full, life to the full. And now Hebrews 4:12, again, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Remember I said, only the Holy Spirit can divide those things, but they're joined to divide what's broken, what's hurt, and what's getting impacted for eternity. Even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. I ran across this quote this last week. I thought it was apropos. It says, the unexposed is the unhealed. The unexposed is the unhealed. And I know that being exposed and being honest about who we are in our brokenness is scary. It's scary because we don't like to know. Some of us avoid doctors, right? Just for that reason. We don't want to find out what's wrong with us. I know there's something wrong with it. I just don't want to find out what. Or I don't want to find out how bad. Or there's something bothering somebody that I can tell there's a wall between us, but we don't confront them. Say, hey, I'm sensing in my spirit there's something wrong between us. There's something going on, because we're afraid of the confrontation, or we're afraid that things are going to go south. The unexposed is the unhealed. We get to depend on the Lord, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Would you join me in this brave adventure of allowing God's word to expose our unhealthiness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning that we get to come and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to how you built us. It speaks to our brokenness. It speaks to our unhealthy spirits. Lord, I pray as we pursue worship of you, Lord, as we pursue the power of your Holy Spirit to give us life, as we pursue obedience to your Spirit in relationship with each other, God, that you would bring health, that you'd bring wholeness, that you would bring fulfillment, that you would make our life more complete than we ever could think or imagine. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit this morning. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit, how it's growing me. Lord, I thank you for the friendships that you've brought to me that challenge me, that speak to me, that encourage me. Lord, and in ones also that I can also speak and encourage others. In Jesus' name, amen.